Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. The Sacramento Kings season came to a disappointing end last Wednesday with a home play-in loss to the Dallas Mavericks. The team's elimination caps off a tumultuous year, which saw the Kings fire former coach Mike Brown less than halfway through the season, trade away star player De'Aaron Fox, and part ways with general manager Monty McNair a day after Wednesday's loss. Matt George is a sports reporter for ABC 10 and host of the Locked On Kings podcast. He's here to help us recap the season. Matt, welcome back to Insight.
Pleasure being back. Thanks for having me.
Matt, there's a lot to unpack here. We only have a few minutes, but before we get into the details, how would you briefly characterize the Kings season as a whole?
I would call it chaotic, and that's a sentiment that's echoed by many in the organization. We had multiple players, coaches, front office members basically utter the same phrase. They've never seen anything like the season that happened with the Sacramento Kings, from people experiencing a coach being fired in the middle of the season, which is nothing new for the Kings organization, but new for people like DeMar DeRozan, who have never been through that before, to the franchise player being traded, to an assistant general manager and a lead assistant coach both just leaving the team in the middle of the season. So it's been a abnormal, chaotic year, to say the absolute least. And unfortunately, many of the wounds are self-inflicted.
Yeah, I think chaotic is pretty apt. A tough season, too. Before we get into more of sort of the personnel changes, you know, the play-in loss last week, that was certainly a disappointment for many. I'm curious, did the loss actually surprise you?
Not at all. The manner of the loss did not surprise me at all. I mean, this is who this team was, a slightly below 500 team. Now, the Kings have only won 40 games or more in a season 10 times in their history, which is pretty bad. But it's some people were using that to celebrate, when in reality, 40 wins is a losing season. That's under 500. So this team was, like, more often than not, they were losing basketball games. So even if they had beaten the Mavericks three times over the course of the season, even if they had home court advantage, the way they lost was very fitting to, we just didn't know what version of the team was going to show up, and more often than not, they were disappointing. I also feel that the loss in that manner needed to happen. As unfortunate as it was, uncomfortable as it was, I feel bad for those who spent their hard-earned money to go to the Golden 1 Center and watch that happen. It was the only game on at the time. It's on national television, the only game in the NBA happening. So the entire basketball world is paying attention to this, and you embarrassed yourself to that level on national television. Again, I think it's something that needed to happen for this organization as a reality check of where they are and, unfortunately, how foolish their decision-making was and what they prioritized and what they didn't. I think the worst thing that could have happened for this organization, truly, is for them to have made the playoffs by winning two play-in games, and then they could somehow claim that this season was an improvement on last season because they made the postseason, when in reality, they went down, they dropped by six wins, they lost the only head coach, they willingly moved on from the only head coach that's been successful here in the last almost two decades, and they traded away their star player in De'Aaron Fox for essentially a all-in to be a mediocre playoff team, and they couldn't even accomplish that.
Well, that loss, that embarrassing loss, as you described it, that led to change. General manager Monty McNair, the team parted ways with him last week. You know, McNair, as you know, joined the Kings as general manager in 2020. He helped the team end their historically long playoff drought just 2 years ago and won NBA Executive of the Year in 2023. But with this year's disappointment, Matt, how do you think his tenure in Sacramento will be remembered?
Well, he managed to accomplish what others could not. I mean, in ending a 16-year playoff drought, which is the longest playoff drought in NBA history, that's no small feat. And he took different risks. He hit an absolute home run in his first draft with the drafting of Tyrese Haliburton, made the trade to bring Domantas Sabonis in. Now, there are some people that are going to say now that everything has played out over the last handful of years, that was a bad trade, but I stand by at the time. It was a move that needed to happen, and short term, it finally produced results for this organization. The problem is, over the two-year period since they actually made the playoffs and ended that drought, they went from one of the most exciting teams with a bright future to Now they're one of the older teams that is pretty much capped at being a highly paid, very expensive, and ultimately mediocre product. So, I mean, I was of the belief that this move should have happened a long time ago. Moving on from Monty McNair is something that needed to take place, although I don't think it's fair to put all of the responsibility on his shoulders, considering now the common denominator here is current ownership. They've been here for 12, 13 years, and the pattern has repeated itself multiple times over these 12, 13 years. I don't understand why Monty McNair was allowed to trade the franchise player away, even if he was just executing the wishes of ownership. It would have made far more sense to bring in a new general manager and hold on to De'Aaron Fox through at least until the summer, and then you can have that new general manager make a unrushed new decision on what to do with him and try and get better options than what the Sacramento Kings got. Ultimately, they made the choices that they made, and the bed is what it is, and they have to sleep in it.
Well, and now that McNair is out of the picture, that, you know, the Kings obviously wasted no time in naming a successor as GM, bringing in Scott Perry. What can you tell us about him? What's his reputation?
Well, Scott Perry is familiar to Sacramento. He was here in 2017 as a lead assistant general manager to Vlade Divac at the time. He was here for only 3 months, though. He was actually part of the front office that drafted De'Aaron Fox back in 2017 with the fifth overall pick. And then he departed very quick into his tenure because he got the opportunity of a lifetime to be the general manager of the New York Knicks. I like the hire of Perry by itself. I don't like the process of which how he was hired, which we can get into if we want to. But with Perry specifically, you're talking about someone who is well-respected around the league in multiple circles. He's well-respected by his fellow general managers, meaning no one's going to call him and try and take advantage of him. He's very well respected amongst agents, which is incredibly important because the negotiation between front office and players is actually really front office and agents. And he's got a great relationship with players too, to where he doesn't just treat them as assets. He treats them as human beings. So all of that is good. And what I like about this hire is that you're not bringing in someone new. Monty McNair, he was a first-time general manager here in Sacramento. Vlade Divac, a first-time general manager in the NBA. So the last two GMs the Kings have brought in have been new to the game. Perry is not. So it's good to bring in someone who has experience, who knows what they're doing. Again, the process of which I'm not too thrilled about, but I like the man, and I'm optimistic that he can hopefully start to clean up this mess that they've made for themselves.
Right. And with the situation he finds himself in, maybe experience is a good thing right here. So what kind of changes could Perry bring to the team? Do you know what kind of a team he might want to build? What kind of players he might be looking to bring in or let go?
Well, the questions that you're asking are the questions that they need to ask themselves. They need to look into a mirror and as an organization come to a consensus decision. Because the problem is the Sacramento Kings lack both an identity and a direction. They had this playoff mandate this season that ultimately led to more short-sighted bad moves than anything positive. And if the mandate for the playoffs still exists from ownership, and look, I understand why everybody wants to make the playoffs. And plus, when you get extra playoff games, there's extra revenue from that for an organization. And of course, the Kings have been out of the playoffs for so long and only one time in the last 18 years that, of course, they want to come back. So I don't necessarily have a problem with the mandate. I have a problem with how you go about executing that mandate. So if the goal is still for the Kings not to do any kind of rebuild and to compete for the playoffs, they need to do so correctly and just with a process, right? And to me, that is deciding who your head coach is. And I mean, if I were putting money on it, I would put my money on Doug Christie remaining the head coach of the Kings. Establish with Doug Christie the identity that you want for this Kings team. Do you want to be a run and gun, fast paced, super athletic, above the rim team? Do you want to be a team that shoots the crap out of the ball and can light it up from 3-point range? Do you want to be a team that can lock you down on the defensive end and will play with a chip on their shoulder, right? Establish the identity that you want to have, and you can use the current players on your roster or others. Establish that identity and then build off that, right? Then make the moves necessary to execute that game plan, essentially. So you can't build until you have a foundation. Scott Perry needs to reestablish the foundation and then make the appropriate decisions in his mind based off that foundation.
And Matt, just in the minute or so we have left, is your what's your best guess on bringing back big name stars like DeMar DeRozan, Domantas Sabonis?
I would be very surprised if DeMar DeRozan were still here. I think DeMar DeRozan is gone. I think it's going to be a mutual parting of ways. DeMar is 36, going to be close to 37 years old. I mean, he only has a handful of seasons left. So if I'm DeMar DeRozan, like the writing for me is on the wall. I would like to spend the last couple of years of my career trying to be as competitive as possible. In fact, he was consistent with the reason why he chose to play for the Sacramento Kings was to win. And ultimately that didn't work out here. So, and I think it's in the best interest of the Kings also to move on from him because one, it didn't really work here. And number two, he's got $24.5 million or something like that on his deal for next season. And that's room and money that they can use elsewhere.
And Sabonis?
Sabonis specifically, he's so highly paid. I think that the Kings will humor the idea of moving on from him, but that's not an easy contract to move on from. So I would expect Sabonis to be around, but he might be involved in some rumors, to say the least.
Well, Matt, I know we'll hear a lot more from you during the Kings offseason, and we really thank you for joining us today on Insight.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Matt George is a sports reporter for ABC 10 and host of the Locked On Kings podcast. That's Insight for today. Learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Leshinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Chris Nichols, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.